20 to 25 minutes, after which there will be a secretary's break. The meeting will then go to show of hands until 8:05 p.m. The last 10 minutes are reserved for those who feel they may drink and haven't had a chance to share. And now to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Emily.
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm an alcoholic. Oh my God. Okay. So it started off well. Okay. That's good. You can hear me, right? Okay. So I'm really excited to share here. My sober date is February 16th, 2014. So I have a little over 2 years. So I'm still a huge, huge beginner. And yeah, I'm just excited to share my story, and I'm just going to start with what it was like, and I just want to start, I think, where, like, the ism started, like, even before I took a drink. It was probably when I was a freshman in high school, and I had, like, a wave of feelings of, like, anxiety and discomfort and, like, fear of judgment from everyone, and, like, you know, I'm not an alcoholic because I feel those things, because so many people who aren't alcoholic feel that way and have feelings of anxiety and all of that, but I'm an alcoholic because I have no idea how to cope with any of those feelings when I don't have treatment or a way out, and my first reaction is to run away and to self-destruct. Like, I always, like, for me, alcohol is just a symptom, and I'm really just addicted to, like, any type of self-destruction. It doesn't matter what it is. So, yeah, I started feeling that way, and I think this is, like, a really cheesy and lame metaphor, but the unmanageability and the isms really started coming into my life with lacrosse, playing lacrosse in high school. Sorry, that's, like, super basic and, like, really lame, like, metaphor. But, like, so I was, like, really, really good at lacrosse. And my coach told me, like, you're going to be the only freshman to move up to varsity. And, like, I think you can go to college for lacrosse and, like, all this stuff. But, of course, like, being so uncomfortable with everything and having so much anxiety and worrying about how much people would judge me, I said to her, I think you have the wrong girl. Like, I think I look like a lot of people out on the field. I think you made a mistake. And she was like, no, I know it's you. Like, and you really have to believe that, like, you're good. And it was just the last thing that I could do. And I really did not believe that at all. And I was so scared that I would never be perfect enough on the field, and I would always mess up, and people would get mad, and just, like, so much fear of so much judgment on the field. So I literally would, people would try to pass to me, and I would run in the opposite direction. And, like, they'd be like, what the fuck? Like, you have to score a goal. And I'd be like, I don't know why I just did that. And I literally would, like, run towards the sideline, and people would be like, there's something, like, wrong here. But I don't know. I just feel like that, for me, was the unmanageability before I even took a drink. And for me, it's really, it, like, represents my alcoholism, because, like, I have so much potential for, like, every facet of my life. And if I let my alcoholism go untreated, like, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to run away from my feelings and I'm going to self-destruct. And I have no idea how to cope with any of that. So my first drink was when I was, like, 16, and I remember it was, like, me and, like, four friends, and my one friend's parents weren't home, and so we stole their liquor, and my friends kept it very, like, low-key, whatever, but, like, of course, I went all in, and I threw up everywhere, and, like, I'm pretty sure boys were there, and I, like, peed myself, and, like, my friend's mom had to come pick me up and carry me out and, like, take care of me, and I don't remember any of it. And it was my first blackout. And for me, everyone else was like, oh, like, that wasn't a good look. But I was like, this is great. Like, I don't have to worry about what I'm doing with my body. Like, it'll just, like, I'll just do my thing when I'm drunk. I'll have no idea what I'm doing. And it was finally, like, that relief, like, oh, my God, this is, like, what I need to get through all these feelings that I can't cope with. So, like, everyone else, it's a lot of, like, the same progression, like, blackouts every night, a lot of my parents carrying me out of parties and a lot of my friends' parents carrying me out of parties. And my first trip to the hospital for alcohol. And yeah, like this whole time, my brother was going through this disease. He's sober now. And like my other brother was in Afghanistan because he was in the army, and my parents were always fighting. And like the combination of all of that, I just could not deal. Like anyone else would, you know, like get through it, whatever. But like me being an alcoholic, the only thing I can think of is to go out and get shit faced and black out and like not care about myself at all. So the more that I like bottled up those feelings and like feeling like, cause I grew up in a family where you like really don't talk about what you're feeling, and like something, like it would always be the same cycle. Like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. Are you okay? I'm fine. It was just the more that was bottled up and the more that kept going, the more that I had to drink over it. And so I guess I didn't really have any consequences in high school. Like I was like still under my parents' watch. I got into a good school and I went that fall, and it was like the same cycle of just feeling so uncomfortable and like totally out of my comfort zone, always feeling less than everyone, constantly comparing myself to everyone. So of course, like the only thing that I could think of to do was to drink. And yeah, so it was like the same progression, but like worse, because you know, my parents weren't there to make sure I got home okay. So, like, a lot of nights I ended up passed out in, like, parking lots and, like, in random places. And, you know, my friends would have to get that call. Like, there's this random girl passed out and you have to, like, bring her home. And it was the same stuff. Like, I went to the hospital for the second time for drinking, like, trouble with the police. I got, like, banned for life from MetLife Stadium. So that's one thing. And just all of that. And then it hit a point where like alcohol just wasn't working anymore. And there was only so much I could drink to like get me through the night. So I turned to drugs, and that, I felt like that was more like my arrival moment, because I felt like the drugs and the alcohol and the party girl identity finally like came into place. And I felt like I was like a part of something, and you know, I was crazy enough to like be someone. It just gave me so much like power and confidence. And I remember that year, my friends and I, the people at our school, started calling us the Oxy bitches. And like that label, I loved that. Like anyone else, that would be really messed up. But like for me, I loved that. That gave me so much confidence. That gave me so much power. And like it talks about in the book how, you know, like the alcoholic leads the double life, and like the alcoholic is like a like an actor and like puts on a show like on a stage. And that was what it was for me. Like when I had that identity and that label, I got to put on a mask and just pretend like I was having the time of my life when I was like really, really miserable. And yeah, so I got through that year, and you know, I don't know how like I went to my classes, but I like honestly I showed up drunk a lot. It was really embarrassing when you had to talk and you had to introduce yourself like on the first day, and I was so blackout that I don't even remember what I said, and people would look at me really weird for the rest of the semester. And then the next fall was really like when I had my spiral into my downfall of my bottom. Like at that point there were just like no boundaries, and I had joined an underground sorority, so like there were no rules, like we didn't have to, and of course we got kicked off campus because of drinking, like why, and I was like, this is the perfect place for me, like I belong here. So like I joined, and that was really like the start of like the dark period. Like it just was not fun anymore. I lost all my friends that really like cared about me, that I cared about. I like was always interested in school, and I stopped going to my classes. And if I went to my finals, I remember sleeping through one, and the teacher had to wake me up at the end because I slept through it. And I basically became friends with these two people in my sorority, and we were only friends because like they thought I was cool because I was so out of control. And I randomly woke up on their floor one night, and I never met them before, so we kind of like became friends through that. And yeah, so I just, I became this, like, shell of a person. Like, I was not there anymore. Like, I remember my friends from home would call my parents and say, like, we're really worried about Emily. Like, she's not herself anymore. Like, we're just worried, like, if something happens. And at that point, I'd gone to the hospital for the second time for alcohol. So, I mean, I just did not care about anything anymore. Like, the only thing that mattered was partying and going out. And I remember, like, I just became so delusional that I would yell at these girls in my sorority who would study, like, who studies for a test the night before instead of going out. Like, that's just not right. So I would yell at them, and I would get so mad and try to get in fights with them. And they were like, what is your problem? Like, we're at, like, an educational institution. Like, what do you expect us to do? And I was like, but college is about partying. Like, I went to my school because I knew that there was a huge partying scene, and they said to me, oh, what do you want to study? And I said, journalism. And they said, we don't have journalism here. And I was like, oh, shit, like, I guess I really did just come here for partying. So basically, yeah, like, and at that point, I just couldn't do anything, any normal activity without drinking. Like, I would get in trouble with my sorority. It's pretty hard to get in trouble with an underground sorority, but I managed to do it. And they would say to me, like, you know, since you got so drunk and you were a mess the other night, you have to be our designated driver next weekend. And, like, I couldn't even do that. Like, I would drink, like, a bottle of wine before. And they'd be like, what is your problem? Like, the point of a designated driver is so you can be sober. And I was like, I don't know. It just, like, happens. Like, I could not explain it. Basically, I was just this person that I was just, like, a shell of a person. And so my last drink was February 15th, 2014. And it was just, like, a regular weekend. It was a date party for my sorority. And, like, of course, I brought, like, 3 bottles of wine because, like, you know, the 7 kegs there just weren't enough. And it was always just, like, assuming that I was going to get home okay and, like, somehow this magical power would just, like, carry me home. But that night, it did not occur. And I woke up the next day, and I was in a hospital bed, and I had a neck brace on, and I had all these, like, warming blankets on me, and I was so confused. And the doctor came up to me, and he was like, do you know what happened last night? Like, you know, someone looked out their window at 3 a.m., and you were passed out in a snowbank. And they called the police, and they called 911, and you had hypothermia, and you had 7 minutes until you went into cardiac arrest. And I was like, shit, okay, like, this is done. Like, it was just that moment of, like, surrender. I remember crying, and my parents had to come, and I was like, I'm so done. I don't feel safe here anymore. I don't feel safe with myself drinking anymore. And I was just like, the jig is up. Like, I'm miserable. I'm not myself anymore. I have no idea how I got to this place, but I'm, like, I'm done. And I have no idea why that day was the particular day that I was like, I'm done, and, like, I surrender, and I'm, like, totally at a moment of defeat. But now I know, like, it was something that's so much bigger than me, and definitely was my higher power coming into play. And, you know, I used to think that, I remember waking up that day and being like, this is the worst day of my life. But, like, now I know that was honestly the best day of my life, because I would have never gotten sober if I didn't wake up and, like, really surrender that day. That February 16th was my sober date. I left that school. I did not plan on going back, and I went to rehab, and I was introduced to AA, and I started going to meetings. And at that point, I was, like, very recovery hungry because I was just so scared to die. I was so sick of, like, waking up in the hospital, and I hated that, like, beep of, like, it was like, beep, beep. Beep. And, like, literally that was, like, just innate in my head because I was so used to waking up in the hospital. And I just didn't want to do that anymore. I kept it really simple in the beginning. I basically went to 2 meetings a day for, like, the first 9 months because, like, I wasn't in school. I didn't really, like, I made recovery my number one because my brother's sober, and he told me, like, that's what you have to do. Like, you have to make this the number one thing in your life. And I did that, and they say, like, I think it's in the first step of the 12 and 12. It's like, when, like, one alcoholic puts into the mind of another, like, the true nature of the spiritual malady, like, they'll never be the same. And that was, like, defined early recovery for me. And, like, without sounding cheesy, it was, like, early recovery for me was, like, a really, really beautiful time because I became myself again. Like, I was just this, like, shell, and I had lost everything that I cared about. I didn't care about my friends anymore. I didn't care about my family. And when I got sober, like, it all started coming back, and I got those, like, moments of clarity that I was just, like, becoming, I don't know, like, a real person again. So basically, I guess for the first, like, 9 months, I, like, bounced around from, I went from rehab to sober living to living at home to coming into the city. And so I had a bunch of sponsors during that whole time, and I didn't really get to get into the steps. And that point of, like, 9 months, I was just like, I need the steps. Like, meetings and, like, meeting people and, like, being a part of AA just, like, was not cutting it anymore for me. Like, I started to feel it emotionally, and it just, like, was not enough. So when I came to the city, I got a sponsor, like, immediately, and started going through the steps, and, like, automatically I felt that difference, and I, like, realized what the main purpose of this program is, and it's in the steps. And so, you know, I realized, like, the steps are, like, my prescription for, like, my life, and, like, going to meetings and, like, being part of, like, a fellowship and all that is, like, great, but, like, I really need the steps in my life to, like, have peace and, like, I don't know, be, like, a happy, sober person. So, yeah, for me, it was really important to get a sponsor that had the sobriety that I really wanted. I remember my first sponsor was, I chose her because I liked what her outsides looked like, and I thought we would get along really well, and, like, all this stuff. And it ended up that, like, I was at my sober living, and I hadn't heard from her in a while, and we always went to this meeting at this rehab, and I went, and she was sitting there, and I was like, oh, like, you've come a really long way to just come to this meeting, like, that's so weird. And she's like, no, like, I'm here, like, I relapsed, and, like, I just didn't call you, and, like, now I'm, like, I've been here for a while. And I was like, shit, like, I really need to choose someone who has, like, the sobriety that I want, not, like, the clothes or, like, all the exterior stuff. So yeah, I got a sponsor here, and for me, the steps have just been, like, amazing. Like, I realize I'm powerless and my life is unmanageable. Like, I just always think of those nights that, or those days that I would always wake up and be like, why am I in the hospital again? Like, I don't really understand why this is happening. I don't understand why this is different this time. And for me, that was me being powerless because I had no idea why that kept happening and I couldn't answer it myself. And for me, my higher power is the thing that, you know, like, woke that person up that night that I was passed out and, like, kept kicking my ass into the hospital and, like, into all these, like, points of destruction because, like, I really needed to be shown, like, this is not what I should be doing. Like, this is not, even though I feel like this is, like, my identity, it's not. And writing out my personal inventory was probably, like, when the light bulb really went off. Because I really got to see that, like, I got to go over all of my past actions and see, like, what part I had in them and, like, see how I could clean up that wreckage and see how I could learn from all of those things in my past. And for me, that's in my life every day because I can act out and do all these things and when it comes down to it, I really have to sit down and be like, what is this really about? Like, what am I really, like, I can yell at my parents or, like, my friends or whatever, or, like, freak out. And I just have to sit down and be like, what is this about? Like, what am I really feeling? What is this fear really about? And for me, making amends has been really amazing. I try to have a living amends for, like, my parents and my friends by just, like, showing up and staying sober and, you know, being a good daughter and a good friend. I got to make amends like a few months ago to this girl that I honestly like didn't really know before I did the thing that I had to make amends for. But like basically like verbally assaulted her at like this party, and it went really badly, and my friends like declared it like the incident, and like I hadn't talked to her for so long. I mean, I genuinely hadn't talked to her in a sober state, so I got to like reach out to her and sit down with her and like make amends with her, and honestly it was beautiful. Thank you. It was like really amazing that this person that I genuinely like didn't even know before and did this thing to, like, I could go over the wreckage of my past and like make amends. And for me, that makes me really grateful to be an alcoholic, because like how many other people get to do that and like write down an inventory and, you know, see their part in their past and go over it and like revisit. I mean, like, I hadn't even like met this girl, and it was like so awkward, and I was so nervous, and at the end of it I was like, I am so happy that I did that. And she was like, I really appreciate this, like, I think it's great what you're doing, I think it's great that you're sober. But yeah, I mean, the steps are like everything to me, and if I didn't have them in my life, I really don't think I would still be sober today. What else was I gonna say? Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I've had a lot of days in sobriety where, like, I've been miserable and, like, depressed, and I've, like, even been, I've had days when I've been suicidal in, sobriety. Like, you know, it all still happens, and I still have those feelings, but, like, AA and what's in the big book and, what's in the steps, like, help me get through those days. I've never had a day where I haven't gotten through it. Like, I've been there 100%. Like, it says, I forget which part of the big book it says, but it's, like, a design for living that's, like, works in, like, rough going. And that's been so true for me, because I've had so many dark days in sobriety, and I've gotten through all of them. Yeah, I really try to surround myself with people who care about my sobriety and people who support it. I remember leaving my old school, and my friends would text me and say, like, oh, I miss you, whatever. And I'd be like, I'm sorry, but, like, I'm not your friend anymore, and you don't care about me, and, like, you left me there that night, and, like, clearly you don't care about my well-being, and, like, you became friends with the person that's not me. And it's so true. Like, they became friends with the person who just like was the shell, and like alcoholism was like brewing inside of it. And so yeah, I just try to surround myself with people who really support me and who care about me, and like I just live a life that I honestly, like, I never, like, when I was 19 and I got sober, I never thought that I would be sitting here. I used to think people who were sober were such losers. And I'm like, I remember I would, like, tell my brother, like, I'd be like, you're such a loser. And, like, I would make him go buy me alcohol when he was, like, in early recovery. Like, that's pretty fucked up. And, like, now I see that's, like, really fucked up. But, like, I don't know. I just, like, I go to school again, and, like, I'm able to, like, show up to my classes, and, like, I've been able to, like, work at internships that I, like, never dreamed of doing. Like, I couldn't even get out of bed and, like, go to class before. And now I'm, like, a responsible person, and I can get through a day, and, you know, I can, like, sit with my feelings, and, you know, I just can, like, get through life on life's terms. But, yeah, I just want to end with saying, like, you know, we've been, like, given this, like, really amazing, amazing gift, and, you know, like, I have no idea why I didn't die all of those times. And, you know, like, so many people have, like, diseases and stuff that happen to them, and, like, there's no treatment, or, like, nothing can happen. But, like when you're sober, it's, like, you have this program of, like, treatment that's, like, 100%, like, success rate if you, like, do the work and you go to meetings and you do everything. And for me, like, I have to protect that with, like, everything that I have. And I have to realize, like, yeah, like, I can come here and, like, be social and be, like, silly and stuff. But, like, at the end of the day, I come here because I don't want to die, and I don't want to go back to the life that I had before. So with that, I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me share.